Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we read the most beloved of all Psalms, the 23rd, the one that everyone calls the Shepherd Psalm, the one that if you have memorized any scripture, this is maybe the passage that you have memorized, and the one that almost everyone chooses for their funeral. When we read the 23rd Psalm, we feel comforted and somehow assured that everything will be all right. Today, I want to look a little more deeply at what this psalm says and why it has such a powerful effect on our emotional well-being. This is one of many psalms attributed to David. And of course, we remember his personal experience of being a shepherd before he was called to be king of Israel. If indeed he is the author of this psalm, he wrote from personal experience of what it was to be responsible for the well-being of a flock of sheep. And when we read this psalm, it is from a place of remembering that Jesus said of himself, "I am the good shepherd," which makes us the sheep. Not sure how I feel about that, given the reputation of sheep for being fearful and stupid and kind of selfish. They need to be taken care of in order to survive. But maybe the analogy is apt after all. We need the Lord's care in order to survive. The Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd is responsible for the care and well-being of the flock, for making sure that the flock is protected from scavenging wolves, and making sure that the sheep have adequate nourishment. Recognizing the Lord as our shepherd means that we can rest assured that we live with both the protection and the provision of the Lord. And that realization leads us to the conclusion, "I shall not be in want." I love a more contemporary rendition, "Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything that I need." We don't need to live with a scarcity mentality, frightened for the future. We can live in the assurance that God, in his care for us, will never abandon us. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. When I read that phrase, green pastures, it brings to mind when I traveled in Ireland and the lush and rolling hillsides filled with green grass, just thick and lush and wonderful. Really green, really abundant, really rare if you happen to be in the Holy Land. That is a much more sparse landscape. I remember when I visited the Holy Land and there were shepherds that would have one or two either sheep or goats or whatever, and it was like there was this, you know, tufts here and there of stuff they could eat. It wasn't until you got into the northern part near Bethany that you found any rolling hills with any greenery. In the Holy Land, a shepherd had to work hard to find sufficient provision for a hungry flock. David would have known that, and so his picture of God's provisions is a place lush with greenery. So again, we have an image of abundant provision. And the still waters are important too. Like every other animal, sheep need water in order to survive. And because they are not too steady on their feet, they need to be watered at a quiet pool of water, not a raging stream that would probably knock them over and threaten their survival. It's an image of peacefully receiving all of life's necessities. And I love the feeling of unhurried peace in this imagery. often our lives are just so hectic, running around from one thing to another, worn out by crazy schedules and overloaded plates. In this image of still water, I hear an invitation to stop for a bit, to rest for a bit, to find God in the quiet, and to trust that we can take some time to pause, to reflect, and to receive that which nourishes our souls without our lives falling apart. And I've always loved the phrase, "He revives my soul." For me, it carries the promise of being brought from the edge of absolute and utter exhaustion, which I think we all experience from time to time, back to a place of vitality. It reminds me of the BCP liturgy, Eucharistic liturgy, which contains the line, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you." Its inclusion in the Eucharistic liturgy is a reminder that in the Eucharist, we are refreshed in soul and spirit. Too often, we push ourselves to and past the point of exhaustion. And in that space, this psalm invites us to return to the Lord, to turn back to God for renewal, for the revival of our souls. And as we are energized, we know that God will lead us in the way that we need to go. For each of us, God has a plan, a purpose, a path. It is in the stillness that we can best discern that way, a way that glorifies God and fulfills our deepest purposes. And maybe sometimes it is worth our while to ask whether we are still on God's path or whether we need to make some adjustments. I think that the next verse is the reason this psalm is so often chosen for funerals. "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Death is called the final enemy, but Jesus says that he has overcome death and in fact has made death the gateway to eternal life. In the face of death, we are invited into a calm assurance. In the face of death, we can be filled with hope, even in the middle of grief. But the valley of the shadow of death may not be referring to physical death at all. It could rather be referring to some of life's experiences, to a place of scarcity, danger, pain, or sorrow, or the unknown, a frightening time. It is uncharted territory for the sheep, but not for the shepherd, who can safely guide us through anything. The rod is used like a club for protection against the wolves, and the staff is used to guide and direct. And sometimes the crook at the end of the staff is used to rescue a wandering sheep that has fallen into a dangerous or precarious place. We are comforted in knowing both God's guidance and protection. The bishop, who will be with us for confirmation in May, carries a crozier, staff with a crook, which symbolizes his role as the shepherd of the diocese, the one responsible for leading God's sheep into God's path, and occasionally pulling the sheep back from a dangerous ledge. That's why the bishops of the Anglican Church have the ultimate responsibility for the canons of the church. We'll probably understand a little bit more of that when we actually see the bishop in person. I'm looking forward to his visit. The next verse uses the image of a table lavishly laden with an abundance of provision, and my mind moves to the Eucharist as a foretaste of the feast to come, the eternal feast. But in the psalm, we are comforted with the idea that such provision will be our reality even in the middle of difficult times, even when there is trouble all around us. The cup overflows, abundant blessing. An anointing symbolizes blessing, honor, and divine favor, and reassures us that we are God's welcome guests. And in the final verse, we affirm that we are surrounded by God's goodness and mercy for time and for eternity. Goodness manifested in a multitude of blessings in our lives, and mercy, the kindness with which God surrounds us. Sometimes when I'm looking at a text, I find it helpful to look at it in a different translation. And so today I want to close with Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of the 23rd Psalm. He writes, "God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I am not afraid when you walk at my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a 6-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life." It seems to me that when the Lord is our shepherd, being a sheep is not a bad thing. And this psalm helps us to celebrate God's provision and God's protection. Amen.